Our scripture for this morning is taken from 2 Corinthians. Would you turn, please, to chapter 2. We're going to begin reading at verse 12 and read to the end of the chapter, verse 17. We believe the Bible to be the only infallible rule for faith and practice. The only way to know God's will and God's way is to go to God's Word. He tells us there how to live, what kind of people He wants us to be. Listen then and hear what God says to us in this portion of Scripture. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. Our meditation this morning is entitled The Smell of Jesus. As you look at verse 14, it says, But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. You are a fragrance spreader for Jesus Christ in the world today. We are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. May God bless to us this reading from His holy word. To His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Lord, we pray that You will open our hearts and minds to understand what it means to be the aroma of Christ, to be Your fragrance in the world. And in helping us to understand that, help us to be that. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Recently, I did a rather extensive study on the concept of sacrifice in the Old Testament. And one writer says that sacrifice and offerings are endemic to mankind, to the human race. That means that that sacrifice and offerings are something that all people of all times and all places have engaged in. You may remember that the first act done outside the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve had been expelled was an act of worship when offerings and sacrifices were presented to God. And you'll remember after the floods receded and Noah emerged from the ark, the first thing that he did was to present burnt offerings on the altar to God. Now, if you were to trace the history of Israel, you will discover significant events marked as they proceed through history. These significant events marked by sacrifice and offerings to God. As a matter of fact, as God brought the Israelites out of Egypt and gave them the Torah, the law on Mount Sinai, it included instructions of how God was to be worshipped with sacrifice and with offerings. Very precise instructions. In some way then, such sacrifices and offerings restored the broken relationship between God and man. Sacrifices had to do with healing the brokenness between God and humankind. As far back as we can go in primeval times, sacrifices were an integral part of man's relationship to God. Now, if you go to certain foreign lands today where primitive religions or pagan religions are still practiced, you will discover sacrifices still being made. As a matter of fact, right here in the St. Louis area, we have substantial evidence of sacrifices being made to Satan. And there have been numerous instances reported in the papers recently where cults have actually sacrificed human beings to whatever demonic gods they worship. But Christians don't offer sacrifices anymore. Did you ever wonder why we don't do that? And there's a reason for it. We understand that Jesus Christ Himself became the supreme and final sacrifice as He offered Himself on our behalf upon the altar of the cross. And with that sacrifice, all those sacrifices of the Levitical instruction in the Old Testament were brought to an end, terminated, finished, over. And the reason is the sacrifice of Jesus completed, it finished, it accomplished all that those sacrifices and offerings in the Old Testament had sought to do in healing the brokenness between us and God. Now, let me make an important comment about sacrifices. First, a sacrifice of an animal was to be an animal without spot, without blemish. It had to be the best that they had to offer. And that means that you and I offer to God the very best we have. Second, God gave great detail as to how the sacrifice is to be offered. And that means attention to detail. It means being obedient about instructions. Above all, it means doing what God says. And you and I need to learn from that how important it is to know His Word and to be obedient to the details of it. And when that's done, then the Bible says, it is a pleasing aroma to God. See how it works. After the flood, when Noah made a sacrifice to God, the Bible says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and he sacrificed burnt offering on it. Then the Bible adds, the Lord smelled the pleasant aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is toward evil from childhood. Never again. Here's another example. Over in Exodus, God gives instruction for a particular sacrifice, and then the Bible says, then burn the entire ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord, a pleasing aroma. Now, when we come to the New Testament, Jesus is described in those same terms. For example, in Ephesians we read, live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, at this point, let me say quite clearly and quite frankly, in the Old Testament, in terms of sacrifice, God isn't interested in the smell of roast beef. When the Bible talks about the aroma being pleasing to God, He isn't talking about God liking the smell of barbecue on the sacrificial altar. No, what God is pleased about is the obedience of His people as they offer the best they have to Him, something without spot or blemish. And the aroma God finds pleasing is obedience. Let me give you an example. In the book of Philippians, Paul tells them how they have supported him in his ministry. Time and again, they have sent financial resources to help him. In one place, St. Paul writes, again and again, you sent me aid when I was in need. And then he goes on to talk about the most recent gift he has received from them. And he says about these gifts,
They are a fragrant offering. A fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God.
Now let me add one other dimension about offerings and sacrifices. There are all kinds of sacrifices in the Old Testament. There are sacrifices for sin. There's Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, sacrifice for atonement, the sacrifice that puts back together that which has been broken and wrenched apart, man's alienation from God. There are sacrifices for thanksgiving, sacrifices for praise. But the sacrifice of Christ is a sacrifice for atonement, for restoration, for healing, for putting back together that which has been broken apart. He is our sin offering. He is our atonement sacrifice. He has paid the price. For the sins of the world were upon him, and with his stripes, the Bible says, we are healed. Now, you see, this leads me to the point of what I want to say this morning. And here's point one. Jesus was a wonderful smell to God. The aroma of his sacrifice was pleasing and acceptable to God. That's the most important thing that can be said in all the world. The sacrifice of Jesus for the sins of the world is acceptable to God. He is pleased with the aroma. Jesus is without sin. He is without blemish, without spot. And God accepts the sacrifice of Jesus. And your sins and mine are forgiven when we accept him. Now, the second point I want to make is this. We who follow Jesus and are obedient to him are the smell of barbecue to God. We are the aroma of roast beef drifting through the world where there's the stench of death. Through those of us who are obedient to him, there is the aroma of Christ. Now, maybe you never thought of yourself in just those terms before. But the Bible says that you and you and you and you, that we are the aroma of Christ. We ought to smell like Jesus. Some years ago, Sidney and I were in England. And we were traveling from London on a train to visit friends in another area. As a matter of fact, they were members of our congregation who were temporarily assigned to England. For us, the train ride was a terrible trial. It was winter, and those English people don't bathe too often. There was a smell on that train, but it was not the smell of Jesus. A couple of years ago, we had friends come visit us from Germany. And they stopped off here in St. Louis. It was a hot summer day. They had been traveling all day when they arrived at our home. Now, I don't know if this is just them or whether it's generally true, but I don't think they'd used any deodorant at all. And we could hardly wait until we shuffled them off to the shower. And we've observed in many parts of the world that people don't bathe as frequently as we do here in America, nor do they use deodorant as we do. For example, I don't know if you've ever been in a facility where street people spend the night. These people certainly have. And there is a distinctive odor about them that will knock you down. But it's not the smell of Jesus. But I do know people who have the smell of Jesus about them. And I suspect you know some as well. Recently, when I was in Brazil, I visited in a mountain, a village called Viçosa. Back up there in those mountains, the Presbyterian minister went there 30 years ago to start a Protestant work. The Roman Catholic priest ordered that they be attacked, and the townspeople attempted to drive them out. This little group of Presbyterians found a site that overlooked the city of Viçosa. And every day they gathered there and prayed for that city, for God to give them the city. And gradually, as the Spirit worked, there were those who began to come to Christ. And today there is a flourishing, strong
Presbyterian group there. The man, the pastor who began that group, still lives there. And I met him. He's a godly man. He's elderly now with a great mane of white hair. But there's something about his kindly face. There's something about his demeanor. There's something about the way he carries himself that reminds me of the very goodness of God, that the goodness of God that seems to flow out of his life. And he had the smell of Jesus about him. And you knew that he was the aroma of Christ in that city. Is there the aroma of Christ about you? Do you smell like Jesus? I read a story recently about a man named Homer Weiser who worked in the basement of a building. He was a mail clerk. And he didn't like being at the bottom of the ladder. And one day he found an old lantern, and when he rubbed it, he heard a voice say, "What is your wish?" "Oh," he said, "I want to go to the second floor." He was tired of being low man on the totem pole. And poof, Homer was at work on the second floor. But alas, he heard footsteps on the ceiling of the floor above him. And he realized there were still people above him. And gradually he worked his way up until, with the lamp's help, he was on the top floor. But then he heard footsteps on the roof. And he wanted to be up there, so he rubbed his lamp and poof, there he was. But when he got to the roof, they saw a young boy sitting on the ledge with his head bowed. And he said, "Boy, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm praying." "Praying to whom?" "I'm praying to God above." "You mean there's somebody still above me?" "Yes," said the boy, "God is above you." And once more, Homer took out his lamp and rubbed it. And this time he said, "Make me like God. I want to be as God would be if he were on earth." And poof, he was in the basement again. Yes, the aroma of Christ. In this congregation, there are many important people who do important and significant things. But the person who pleases God the most, and the person who has the aroma of Christ about him, is the one who puts himself at God's disposal to be God's servant and a servant to others. Is there the smell of Jesus about you, about your life? Did you ever wonder what Jesus smells like? Above all, there is the aroma of love about him. And wasn't that his command to us? He said, "This I command you, that you love one another." How good are you at loving when it's undeserved and unearned? One of my favorite comic strips is Calvin and his stuffed toy tiger, Hobbes. To Calvin, Hobbes is very real. And when no adults are around, he is real. And with his vivid imagination, Calvin and Hobbes are into all sorts of trouble. He's the most obnoxious kid I know. If he were mine, I would shoot him. In one sequence, Calvin and Hobbes are playing in the garage, and they decide to push the car out of the garage so they can have it as a clubhouse. Well, you can imagine what happens. The last scene goes something like this. Mom, looking up a tree. "There you are. Come down out of the tree so I can talk to you." Calvin, "No, you'll kill us. We're running away." Mom, "I'm not going to kill you. I just want to find out what happened. Are you okay? Was anyone hurt?" Calvin, "No one was hurt. We were pushing the car into the drive and it kept rolling." Mom, "The car didn't hit anything." Calvin, "It just went across the road and into the ditch. That's when we took off." Mom, "Well, the tow truck pulled it out and there's no damage, so you can come home now." Calvin, long pause. "First, Let's hear you say, "You love me." Do you see? When we know we're unworthy, when we've screwed up badly, done the wrong thing, said the wrong words, and still somebody says, "I love you." And not only says it, but acts it out. Then there is the aroma of Christ. The smell of Jesus. Love is a language that everybody understands. Young 4-year-old Matthew was sitting in the back car, in the back seat of the car, eating an apple. "Daddy," said Matthew, "why is my apple turning brown?" His father explained to his 4-year-old son, "Because, Matthew, after you ate the skin off, the meat of the apple came in contact with the air, which caused it to oxidize, thus changing its molecular structure and turning it into a different color." There was a long pause, and then a small voice, Matthew said, "Daddy, are you talking to me?" But love is a language we all understand. Is there the smell of love about you? Do you remember the song that was popular some years ago? "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." And the smell of Jesus is love. How's your love life this morning? And we're not talking sex here. We're talking about your lifestyle as a Christian. How are you living out the love of Jesus Christ in your life? Can you think of some ways that after you leave here this morning, that you can have the aroma of Christ about you? Is there some little act of love? Some deed of mercy? Some word of cheer? Some words of encouragement? Some expressions of concern that you can do that will let the love of Jesus shine through your life? Is there somebody you've hurt? Someone you've been unfair to or unkind to or neglected or treated in a way that you wouldn't want to be treated? To have the aroma of Christ means to go and make amends, to live out the love of Jesus in the world. And out there in the world, there's the stench of death. And you and I are to be in that world of death. The aroma of Christ, which brings life to the world. The other day, my wife was in Clayton and drove by the church. And she saw my sermon title out on the bulletin board. And she was horrified. And she came home and she said, "I can't believe you said what you said. Why didn't you use some other word? It sounds so yucky to say the smell of Jesus." Do you know what I said? I said, "Well, Sydney, if I said the aroma of Christ, it might sound better, but by the time they left the church and got to their cars, they would have forgotten it. But I said they won't forget it so soon if I lean over the pulpit and say to them, 'Do you smell like Jesus?'" Well, do you?